Friends, join me with our prayer of illumination as we hear Holy Scripture this day. Let us pray. God's words are amazing gifts. In perfection, they revive our weary spirits. In truth, they delight us. Their clarity enlightens us and leads us to wisdom. Let us hear these words with hope and anticipation. Amen. Our first scripture this morning is from Psalm 103. You're welcome to use the Pew Bible, page 744, as I read verses 9 through 12. The Lord will not always accuse, nor will the Lord keep angry forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. And now I invite you to stand as you are able as I read from the Gospel according to Matthew from the first chapter, verse 21. She, Mary, will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Please be seated. Pray with me. Gracious and most holy God, on this Palm Sunday, as we remember the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, and his friends would later gather over the Passover feast, Jesus would reimagine what life would look like in the days ahead and for our days now. Our faith has been shaped by reflection and wisdom and spiritually led discernment of what it means to profess our beliefs. And so this day, as we reflect on this Holy Scripture, may we hear what you would have us hear this day. May we be strengthened, encouraged, and challenged to live as your faithful disciples. It is in Jesus' name that we pray, and all God's people said, amen. So we began the season of Lent on Ash Wednesday back in March. March 5th, I believe it was. And it seems so long ago, and yet it wasn't. And maybe I have the date wrong, but it's, you know, we happened in March, right? And we burned palms, and we adorned ourselves with ashes, and we entered into the season of reflection, of preparation, to enter into this holy week, reflecting on the life and love of Jesus. Now, one of the things that we have done as a community of faith through this season of Lent is allowed the Apostles' Creed to shape our time of reflection and preparation this season. And we began with, what does it mean to say, I believe? And then each week from there, we talked about, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in the Holy Spirit, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. And today, we will talk about the forgiveness of sins. Now, I'm going to make the same disclaimer I have made every week. There is no way I can say everything that needs to be said on this topic in 15 minutes. There is absolutely no way, and we will do our best as it relates to entering into this holy week. Because here's a spoiler alert for you. I'm giving away the end of the story. Next Sunday, we will celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, right? But there is something about the resurrection of Jesus that makes today very relevant to that. And as we reflect on the forgiveness of sins, you know, I'm curious, and you know, for those of you who may know who I am, I'm very much participatory type of person. I'm going to ask you a question, and you're going to have your thoughts, and I'm going to invite you to share with me what you think your definition of sin is. What do you think sin is? What do you think, Ian?
Separation.
separation from God. Wonderful answer. What's another understanding of the definition of sin? What else have y'all heard? Maybe you don't hold it, but you've heard it. What do you think? Going against God's word. What else? The Ten Commandments. Breaking the Ten Commandments. What else? A mistake. Yes. What else have you heard sin defined as? Evil, participating in evil, possibly. But I guarantee you that if I gave you 20 minutes, maybe a little less, and a piece of paper, you could probably write a very long list of ways people have defined sin. Ways maybe you yourself has understood sin throughout your lifetime. And I also am very mindful that sometimes we don't have a good definition of what sin is, right? And so then we have to reflect on that. And as I mentioned a little earlier, we're reading this book about freeing Jesus by Anna Butler Bass. And I do not think, I don't hold to coincidences. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit that orchestrates and moves things. And this, I'm listening to it, and guess what the topic of the chapter was that I'm listening to right now? Jesus as Savior. How many of y'all have called Jesus Savior? Yeah. You know, we ask, you know, and I'm looking at our confirmation leaders, you know, we're going to have these kids stand up and say, do you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And we're going to expect you to say, I do. Do you know that Savior is only mentioned twice in the New Testament? Which really makes us think, oh my goodness, there's all this emphasis on Jesus as Savior, and yet that is not necessarily what is spoken about the most. So then that means, okay, well, if Jesus is Savior, what is Jesus saving us from? Right? And so for us, we think, well, we're being saved from our sins. And the way of being saved from our sins is through forgiveness. Right? We believe in the forgiveness of sins. But I also know, in listening to this text, that there is very clear distinction about what it means to be human and the sinful corruption of humanity. Right? And if we go back to the narrative, when was sin introduced in the biblical story? Do you remember? What do you think, Connor? Not Connor, Pearson. When Eve ate the apple, right? And I apologize, I think I called you Connor twice. And I know that's Connor and I know that's Pearson. But yeah, so we hold this story, right, of sin. Like there's this, and in the beginning was the word, you know, that God breathed and spoke and created all of creation. And then this beautiful relationship about Adam being created and Adam needing a partner. And so Eve was created, that means life. And then it all goes wrong, right? And in some instances, people will say, well, it was Eve's fault that sin came into the world because Eve is the one who ate the apple. And there will be others who say, well, actually, it was the sin of Adam because Adam had the instructions from God, which means Adam should have shared those instructions with Eve. And then, you know, so there's this mutuality, right, of it was actually shared disobedience to God. And then Jesus and God said, well, there are going to be consequences because you chose to not listen to what I had to say. And so that's when we hear about how Adam's going to toil on the earth, right? Did they know? Did you know he was coming? Aww. Well done, son. And that there would be pain in childbirth, right? But yet God still cared for them, clothed them, they were shamed. And a lot of times we think about sin as this guilt, right? Of, I feel guilty for doing X, Y, Z, and that must be sin. And sometimes we like to say, well, is telling a white lie the same level as murdering someone, right? Be like, well, the rules are easy to remember, right? Like, don't do those, and if I break those, then yes, I'm perpetuating sin. But it's the other things that sometimes you're like, is that really sin? Is that really what's separating me from God? And I love that definition of separating from God, because salvation, if we look at that as a term, is actually based on being made whole. I promise that for every single person in here, there is probably something that you feel is misplaced or broken or missing. And God doesn't desire that for you. God wants you to be made whole. And so if we think about being made whole, those sins, those things that separate us from God, can be loneliness. It can be feeling unworthy of maybe the gift of grace. It may be seeking power and wealth at the expense of others. It might be ignoring the needs that are so surrounding us right now, turning a blind eye. Because if we inherently think of humanity as good, very good, that's what we're striving for. We're looking for that wholeness, not only individually, but as a community. And that is manifested when we adhere to the basic summarization of the law of love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And then you think, well, you know, I don't feel like I'm as sinful as maybe I've been sinned against. Do y'all ever feel that way, that maybe somebody's done something to you that you feel has been wrong and has separated you or caused rifts in, you know, your dynamics and your friendships, maybe within your own family, and you just think, you know what, I don't think that I can forgive them for the way they treated me, for the way they made me feel. And so I read this book by Desmond Tutu, co-authored with his daughter, who was really speaking to the injustices of apartheid in South Africa. And he says, you know what? Forgiveness isn't really about expecting somebody else to acknowledge how they have wronged you and make reparations. It is about letting that go so that it no longer holds power over you. Because the chances are, if we're waiting for somebody else to acknowledge that they've wronged us, they're probably not going to. And so that means we're going to be holding on to that, and that brokenness is going to continue to fester within us, and maybe it's going to skew how we engage with other people, or we interact at work, or in our families, or in our communities. And then guess what? That's perpetuated. Which then makes me think, man, the sins of generations passed on from one to the next. I don't think that's God how God intends it to be. Can I get an amen? God wants us to be whole, because in our wholeness, we become reflections of the divine image with which we were all created and meant to be in. And so then we think about Jesus as the one who forgives us from our sins. That forgiveness comes because of Jesus' love for each and every one of us. There's sometimes I love reading scripture in a different translation. And And I can't help but, how many of y'all have read The Message translation by Eugene Peterson? So what I typically read on Sunday mornings is the New Revised Standard Version. The Common English Bible is what you find in your pews. But The Message was a thought-for-thought translation of Scripture by Eugene Peterson. And this is what Psalm 103 sounds like. God is sheer mercy and grace. Not easily angered, he's rich in love. He doesn't endlessly nag and scold, nor hold grudges forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. As high as heaven is over the earth, so strong is his love to those who fear him. As far as sunrise is from sunset, he has separated us from our sins. And as I thought about the geographical imagery of that, right? Because one translation, how far it is from the east to the west, and this one is talking about sunrise to sunset. Friends, it makes me think about the spherical nature of our earth, right? Which is the three dimension of a circle. A circle has no beginning, it has no end. It's why we often use it as a symbol of marriage covenants, right? It has no beginning, it has no end. It is meant to go on for eternity. And that is God's desire for us, as it relates to relationship. And the thing that keeps us from being there with no beginning and no end is our sin. And that is wiped away because of Jesus. For the sins of the past, for the sins then, for the sins today, things we know and the things we don't know, those places of brokenness, of wholeness. Do we live like we believe that to be true? Do we believe that we have been made whole? Or do we continue to hold on thinking, well, God's forgiveness can't be for me? Or I did something wrong, so guess what? I'm going to hell. Eternal separation from God is not God's plan for us. It's not the plan for the world. God's plan is for full and complete reconciliation. For all of those relationships to be made whole. And more importantly, our relationship with ourselves to be made whole. Thank goodness God does not hold the things we do against us and loves us and offers us grace and mercy. So friends, today when we stand up in just a moment and say, I believe in the forgiveness of sins, I invite you to say that and believe it and live it every moment. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.